What's going on, everybody? Welcome in ChasingCheckersRadio.com. Of course, we're on YouTube, all those things, Twitter. Hope you're having a great night, and just wanted to do a little post-race for you, as I've been trying to do more of. Had to get some microphone settings right. But anyway, a big race today at the Goodyear 400 at the Darlington Raceway. Martin Truex Jr. absolutely dominant in that performance today, leading 248 laps en route to the victory, his third of the year. He is the only driver to have multiple wins this year. We've talked a lot about this, it's been a new guy winning every week. Except for when Martin Truex Jr. finds victory lane, he has certainly made the most of it in this season. But it's been fun to watch because, like I said, he was dominant today. I was in the post-race media Zoom. You'll hear from him in just a second. But it was interesting because he did get asked, is there kind of a comparison here between this performance and domination, today and what what you did a few years ago with the Coke 600. And so he kind of laughed at that. But these low downforce races, he's very good at. The bottom line is he is very good at those, and it has worked out for him. But you got to give Kyle Larson credit. Kyle Larson finished second in this one, as you can see on your screen. If you're listening to the podcast, we'll give you the results in just a second. But Kyle Larson, I thought he had a really good car. He was hovering around most of the day, and I thought he was going to catch Martin Truex Jr. there at the end. I thought this was going to be one of those things that we've seen at times this year where a guy dominates, and then here comes somebody else, and Larson just couldn't get to him. Martin Truex Jr. commented after the race on how his strategy somewhat changed when he saw Kyle Larson in his rearview mirror.
I think you go from being really calm and like, all right, this is great. Let's, no cautions. Let's take care of this thing and just click off the laps and, run 90-95%, leave a little bit out there, try to take care of your tires, stay off the fence, all that good stuff. And then, next thing you know, you have a slow pit stop, this and that. You get caught behind a few cars, lap cars racing and whatnot. You're like, oh, man, he's right there. I hadn't had to race him all day. Where'd he come from? Better get going. Oh crap. Now I'm too loose. I can't go any faster, heart rate goes up, anxiety goes up, and you just try not to make any mistakes.
There you go. Martin Truex Jr. When he saw Kyle Larson, and like I said, I thought, and especially when you see that move that Larson makes where he splits the two lapped cars, goes, makes it three wide, goes in the middle. I'm like, that, what a gutsy, could use another adjective, what a gutsy move to do that and to go after him. But it just wasn't enough for Larson. And again, you respect the run that Kyle Larson had finishing second, and you thought he was there. But it just shows you how good Martin Truex Jr. is at these type tracks and these type races. And it feels like he's starting to find the form that he had back in 2016, 2017, 2018, years like that. So he's definitely doing that. Again, Kyle Larson finishes second. Kyle Busch with another solid run. He comes home third. William Byron fourth. Denny Hamlin rounds out the top five. Kevin Harvick with another solid run in sixth. Chase Elliott seventh. Ryan Blaney eighth. Chris Buescher, another good run for him in ninth. Ryan Newman tenth. Chase Briscoe 11th. Tyler Reddick 12th. Joey Logano 13th, Christopher Bell 14th, and he was going to be in the top 10 at least. All the Gibbs cars were strong today. He just hit the wall there at the end, but Joe Gibbs has to like what he sees with him. I have posted on our Twitter page at Chasen_checkers a question I asked to Joe Gibbs about Christopher Bell, so that is on our Twitter page. Ross Chastain with a nice run, finishing 15th. Austin Dillon 16th. Alex Bowman 17th. Eric Jones comes home 18th. And Matt DiBenedetto 19th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. comes home in 20th. So Larson, how much did he think he had for Martin Truex Jr.? Did he think he could catch him?
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw him. I closed a lot. We had to gain seconds on him on the pit cycle. And then I was closing on him a little bit, and then he was getting in heavy traffic, and it looked like he was struggling in front of me for grip. So I was trying to just be patient, you know, and try and let him burn his stuff up. I do think I remember seeing him get sideways off of two once or something like that. And then I got to him later on and, got to his back bumper, was going to, you know, try and get him loose just to get him to check up off of two and maybe get to his inside, or just stalk him some more and get him to make a mistake or burn his tires up. But he did a really good job. And so, yeah, I mean, the only thing I think I could have done differently was, you know, get that big run on him in one and two. And when I got to his bumper, I could have just probably throttled up through the center and maybe cleared him, or at least got my right rear to his left front and made him lift off of two. But like I said, I could see he was struggling. I wanted to be patient and figured I'd have another opportunity, but I never really did.
Kyle Larson. Yeah, I thought he might have another opportunity too. But, you know, I think with about 15-ish to go, that was really when the door was opening. Maybe it was like 12 to go. That was really when the door was opening for Kyle Larson. But I'm going to say this about Larson. The fact that it has all come together as quickly as it has at Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, it has been 12 races that they have been together. And he missed most of last year, not in a cup car. He was racing, but he wasn't in a cup car due to his suspension. Then he gets hired by Hendrick. And the fact that they won as quickly as they did, and they have had, you know, the success that they have had. I mean, they have they've been pretty solid this year. I asked him in post-race just why or how this has all come together as quickly as it has. Kyle, you talked about the runs that you've had, obviously the win, you know, the top fives, but how has it been able to come together so fast for you, your relationship with Cliff, you know, coming to a new team, you're 12 races in and you guys seem to be clicking on all cylinders. So how has it come together so fast?
I just think I've got a great group of people around me throughout all of Hendrick Motorsports, but especially in our five car. So their preparation is something that is pretty awesome to see. And you know, I feel like I'm putting in a lot of work off the track too, to get myself up to speed, you know, with no practice and things like that. And, you know, honestly, probably no practice benefits me a little bit, you know, just from, being able to adapt quickly and not giving myself an opportunity to tune ourselves out with any bad feedback. So, it's been really fun to, you know, be this good, this early on in the year. And, like I said earlier, I hope we can just continue to build on it and get better and, be the best when it comes to the final 10 races.
I think they will be. I mean, you look at what he's done so far through those 12 races. Like I mentioned, he has the win. He has five top fives, seven top tens. He's, led 511 laps this year. So, I mean, it's not like they're just, you know, there and getting good finishes. I mean, he's leading some laps too, and a good chunk of them. I know that Truex dominated today with his 248, but you have to feel good if you're Kyle Larson about where you're at. And you can see that confidence. You can hear that confidence, and he should have that confidence. You know, it's well documented what happened last year, the mistake that he made. But he's a talented race car driver, and I think that he's much more talented than you have seen in his years in Cup to this point. He's in much better equipment now, not, you know, knocking Chip Ganassi Racing, but Hendrick, for the Chevy teams especially, Hendrick is at the top of the mountain. So I think that he has to feel like he's in a really good situation and has to feel good about that. With what he's done. Something that, you know, I mentioned earlier, Martin Truex Jr. is very, very successful at these low downforce tracks. He was asked why that works so well for him.
I love low downforce. It's all, I love it. You know, I feel like, you know, especially this year, we, you know, all three races that we won been with this package. So obviously, you know, guys and girls at JGR are doing a great job. But I just, you know, for me, you look at 16, 17, and 18 low downforce. I mean, you know, we very well could have won all three championships. You know, we were right there in all three and won a lot of races. So, big fan of this kind of racing, really enjoy it. You know, today was a heck of a challenge. I did come on the radio one time and say, I'm really surprised at just how slow it feels and how slick it is. I mean, I was leading and driving away from the field and I'm like, this thing is sliding everywhere. It's pretty amazing. Just how much this track changes year to year. Every time we come back, it gets more difficult with the, you know, the wear of the pavement. And I would say that, you know, we probably have less downforce now than we've ever had here, you know, because I think some of the rules that have changed since 17 or 18, whatever, we've probably got less downforce than we had then, even with, you know, building new cars and working on get better and better and better. Really, really just a fun day, a big challenge. And, you know, just got to give it up to my guys for giving me a great car and doing all the little things right.
Martin Truex Jr. on low downforce and why it works so well for him. And, you know, I'll say this about that. He's right. He could have won those championships. Now, here's what I'm curious of. When this new car rolls out, which, you know, it's going to help this rules package, and I know they're going to have to tweak it, and there's going to be a lot of things that these drivers have to learn. But one of the big things is that you're going to have be a talented driver. And I've always thought Martin Truex Jr. was a talented driver, so I'm just wondering how much this new car may benefit him if, you know, it just makes him that much better. I mean, what's crazy to me with Martin Truex Jr. is I remember when he came up through the Busch series, like thinking, this guy's going to be pretty darn good. And he gets into DEI, and it just out of the gates, they struggled. It was, you know, one of those things that DEI was kind of starting to go in the wrong direction, and he didn't win for, what was it, 3 years, I guess, that he didn't find victory lane. He finally does, and then goes to Michael Waltrip Racing, and it's kind of the same deal. Like, you know, a couple wins here and there, some decent, you know, decent finishes, but just never really lived up to what you thought he could live up to, and it kind of got to the point where you're like, well, I guess he's just not what we thought he was. And then all of a sudden Furniture Row comes along, which, nothing against Furniture Row, but at the time that was kind of where drivers went when they couldn't get a big ride, and that was after the whole deal with Michael Waltrip Racing when they shut down. He was out of a ride, and he goes to Furniture Row. And things start to come together. One right away, they obviously get the relationship with Joe Gibbs. That helps. But then you're seeing him pop off multiple wins a year. I mean, he had 4 wins in 16, 8 wins in 17. He wins a championship. Then he goes to Joe Gibbs Racing, and that just kind of continues. 7 in 2019. And then I know he only had the 1 last year, but he's already got 3 this year. It's just he's made a habit of having multiple win seasons, and so I wonder, with this new car, is that going to make him even better? And I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to see what guys like Truex Jr. can do in that new car. I also asked him about working with James Small. You know, Cole Pern was his crew chief for a long time at Furniture Row, and then the move over to Gibbs, but now he's with James Small, who's the engineer on the car. And so I asked how that is working to this point.
This one's for Martin. Martin, you and Cole had such great chemistry over the years with winning a bunch of races, winning a championship. Now with James, now that the wins are starting to come, what's changed with the chemistry between you two, maybe from last year to this year?
I mean, honestly, I don't really feel like anything's changed between us since he took over the crew chief position. I think, you know, when he was our engineer, you know, we had a great relationship, and I think that's continued. Obviously, you know, more interacting, you know, since he went from engineer to crew chief when Cole decided to do something else. But you know, I think last year James did a great job. I mean, if you look at everything, we were right there a lot of races. We had some tough luck. We had a lot of second and third place finishes, and you know, we didn't win as many as we should have. But you know, I feel like he's done a really great job since he stepped in, and you know, our relationship has been great since day one. I guess if anything has changed right now this year, it's been just confidence. You know, it's his second year. He's more comfortable in the position, and you know, he's getting to go back and look at his own notes and think about you know, the decisions he made last year to certain track, and not so much going off of somebody else's notes. And really, it's just all about having confidence in your decisions. And you know, there's so many things. I know we talk about simulation and all the technology that goes into setting up these cars to show up at the racetrack, and you know, with no practice these days. Every weekend I ask James, I'm like, what do you think? You know, how do you feel about it? And he's like, well, if our 600 assumptions are correct, we're going to be really good. So I think just getting more comfortable in his role, getting more comfortable at making those decisions, especially at times where maybe, you know, if you weren't that good at a racetrack last time, if you have enough confidence in yourself to make some big changes, really go for it, swing for the fences. And he's been able to do that this year. That's probably one of the biggest things I've noticed about it, is the confidence. So I don't think our relationship has changed at all, really. But I think James has really stepped it up and done an even greater job this year.
And I think that confidence is something that goes such a long way, whether you're the crew chief, the driver, the jack man, whatever, it doesn't matter. As long as you're confident in what you're doing, I think you're going to see some pretty good results. So I think that Martin Truex Jr. and James Small have quite the relationship, and it's working out for them very well. So there you go. Martin Truex Jr. gets it done today, leading 248 laps. As you see here on the side of the screen, but the standings, Denny Hamlin leads the way, but Martin Truex Jr., and again, these are the normal standings, not the playoff standings as of yet, but Martin Truex Jr. is now in second place in the standings with his three wins. Denny Hamlin's still looking for his first win of the year, but a good run for him finishing fifth today. William Byron is in third, 101 points back of Denny Hamlin with his one win. Then Joey Logano, fourth. Ryan Blaney is in fifth, both of them with wins. Kyle Larson, as we've mentioned quite a bit today, is in sixth with his win. Then Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, seventh and eighth. Ninth, Brad Keselowski, he has a win on the year. Kyle Busch getting his first win last week at Kansas. He rounds out the top 10. And then, of course, remember, they take the top 16. So Christopher Bell, he has a win, so he's in. Austin Dillon, 12th. Chris Buescher has found himself in a pretty good spot in 13th. Alex Bowman with a win in 14th. Michael McDowell, the Daytona 500 winner, in 15th. And Tyler Reddick rounds out the top 16. So we will see how it all shakes out at Dover. Just this information for you, I will actually be at Dover Downs next week. So I will be at that race, the first race that I've gotten to go to in about 2 years, and be able to cover it for all of you. So looking forward to that. Again, you can check out the show 9 a.m. on Saturday Central Time on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville. You can subscribe to the podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Google. Just search Chasing Checkers and hit subscribe. Give us a nice rating and a review as well if you feel so inclined. And then always, everything is available at chasingcheckersradio.com.